Does anyone here know who Lord Harold Samuel is? Anyone? I didn't think so. What are the most important words in real estate? Three words. Location, 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 right? Well, he's credited with coming up with that, if, in case you're curious, at least according to the internet, and we all know that that's true, right? So I submit to you today that there are three important words when you are reading Scripture. And you've heard me talk about this before, and I say that that is context, context, context. So it is very important when reading the Bible, no matter what passage you are reading, no matter what verse you are reading, to take it into context. It can be very dangerous to just pluck out verses, because you can pretty much say or make the Bible say whatever you want it to say if you just pluck verses out. But it's important to take it in context. For example, if I just read you this verse here, a quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. How do you wives feel about that? One translation says, a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet. If you don't give any context, you could be justified complaining about your wife. But this is in chapter 27 of the Proverbs, which were written by Solomon, mostly written by Solomon, who was very wise, who also happened to have 1,000 wives. So I'm guessing he had a lot of problems with this. But in the context of Proverbs, in the context of that chapter, he's giving advice on how to deal with family and friends. And so if you don't give that context, you could just justify complaining about your wife. It's so important. I can't stress this enough. To whatever you're reading, to take it in context of the chapter of that book, in the book that you're reading from, and in the Bible as a whole. Remember, this isn't just a book of a bunch of different books. It's one book. It's whole. It's one narrative of events, all connected by the crimson thread, Jesus. And so, I'm going to give you some context to the text that I'm going to be reading here in a little bit, which will help us understand this passage a little more, because it can be a tough one. So, I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 15. In the first 20 verses before this, Jesus has another run-in with the Pharisees because they are calling out the disciples for not washing their hands before they ate. See, this was one of those man-made laws that they had come up with that had become a tradition that had been passed through the generations. It was not part of God's law. It was man adding on to God's law and have made this into a burden of being clean. It's not bad to wash your hands, obviously, before you eat. But they had turned it into a law that you had to do this. And so Jesus, in these verses preceding here, goes on to tell them, the Pharisees, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. That's what defiles the person. And so Jesus tells them how unclean they are because of the evil thoughts that are coming from their hearts. And this was a shocking thing for the disciples to hear Jesus talking this way to the religious leaders, telling them that they were unclean because of what was coming from their hearts. And so now, I will read to you the text for today, which is Matthew 15, beginning with verse 21. And so right after the what I just talked about, this happens. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. All right, first thing, Jesus is in Tyre and Sidon. And why do we get that information? Well, I have a map up here, of course. And if you look up at the top above Galilee, you see Tyre and Sidon. That's in Syrophoenicia. And another gospel, the writer calls this woman the Syrophoenician woman. She's a Canaanite also. So this is where Jesus is. He has left Galilee, and he's now in this territory where all the people would have been pretty much Gentiles. And this is where this event is taking place. So this Canaanite woman comes up to Jesus because she has a sick daughter. Matthew gives us this detail that she is a Canaanite on purpose. If you go back to Deuteronomy, when the Israelites were in the desert, you know, they're getting ready to go into the promised land, but the promised land was inhabited by a bunch of peoples. One of those peoples were the Canaanites. And God told them to destroy everybody, get rid of them all, because of the damage they were causing, because of all the multiple gods that those people were worshiping. See, he knew that they would influence his people. They didn't listen. They didn't wipe them all out, which is why there's still Canaanites. But this just goes to show that God can work through anything, right? So this woman would have been considered unclean by those religious leaders because she's a Gentile. This woman comes to Jesus anyway because God somehow had revealed to her that Jesus is the Messiah sent for the people of Israel. She addresses him. Did you notice it? Lord, Son of David. That's a Jewish title. That was the messianic title for Jesus. And she is somehow knows this. It's been revealed to her. She has faith. She was not spiritually blind like the Pharisees were. So then we get this discussion, and this discussion warrants some explanation here. So the woman comes up and says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." How does Jesus respond? He doesn't respond. He gives her no answer. He says nothing. So what's going on here? Is Jesus being cold-hearted? How do we explain this silence? In fact, how do we explain the silence of God in our lives? Sometimes when we pray, we don't get the answer we think we should. So we think God is just being silent. He's not listening to us. He's ignoring us. What we perceive as silence from God is really God working in ways that we just don't always simply understand. He's working right here, right now, with this woman, even though he didn't say anything. The timing wasn't quite right for Jesus to respond. He wants to see how strong this woman's faith is. And Jesus is also using this situation to teach his disciples some things. Remember where they just were with the argument they had that the Pharisees brought up about clean and unclean. He's going to teach them some things. And remember, these disciples have exhibited some weak faith. Remember what I preached about last week? Peter, who was walking on water, doubted, focused, took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the waves and sunk. So the disciples have exhibited some weak faith. And now they're getting a woman, and not just a woman, a Gentile woman, and not just a Gentile woman, a Canaanite woman, who's got stronger faith than they do. So next, the woman, even though there's no response from Jesus, she keeps crying out after Jesus. So the picture I get is there's a picture here. You know, Jesus is kind of walking away, not paying attention. And now the disciples just want her to get lost. And it sort of seems like Jesus is going along with this response, just get lost. You see, in Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus the Messiah was primarily sent to the house of Israel first, the Jews. God made a covenant with Israel way back in the Old Testament. Remember the covenant he made with them that he would send a Messiah. But this is going to show his disciples that he came for them first, but he came for everybody. All people. They're going to learn that lesson here too. And so the woman again says, Lord, help me. And Jesus says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What? What did Jesus just say? Did he just call this woman a dog? Yeah, he did. Another way of saying that, it's not right to take the blessings promised to the children of Israel and give them to the Gentiles / dogs. So the word dog was a common insult that was used back then by Jews talking about Gentile people. But, interesting little nugget here. There's a different way you can say the word dog in Greek, in the Greek language. And Jesus didn't use the common word that was used as the insult. He used the word that could be translated little pet dogs. You see, even back then, they did have a lot of wild dogs running around crazy. But they also had dogs as pets like we do. And that's the different form of this Greek word that Jesus is using. It softens it a little bit, but he's still calling her a dog. Because you see, pet dogs were taken care of just like we take care of our dogs. And so the woman responds to this. She doesn't give up. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He calls her a dog because he wants to see how strong her faith is. He's testing her, just like you and I get tested at times in our faith. And she passes with flying colors because Jesus' response is, O woman, great is your faith. Jesus was not putting her off at all, but was making her realize that even she was included at the table. So what can we learn from this Canaanite woman? There's a lot. She came to Jesus not claiming anything as her right, and simply threw herself on the Lord's mercy. You see, a lot of times we think we're entitled to get this or that. You know, we're Christians. We go to church every week. We do this. We do that. We should get this from God. She wasn't coming to God claiming anything other than throwing herself on the Lord's mercy. And remember, mercy is not getting something we deserve, because what we deserve is eternal death and hell for our sins. That's what we deserve. But we have mercy. God has mercy on us. Just like he had mercy on this woman. She was willing to be a dog because she realized even a crumb from Jesus was enough. Another thing we can learn is she had persistent faith. Her faith, thanks to God, wouldn't allow her to give up even when there were obstacles, because she believed Jesus had more than enough grace and mercy, not just for the children of Israel, but for her and her daughter. She perseveres through all those obstacles in her faith. Her faith was produced, of course, by the Holy Spirit working in her life, which is exactly where we get our faith, at the waters of holy baptism. We receive the gift of the faith. The Holy Spirit works through us, gives us that faith, and continues to help our faith grow. And when we go through these tests and trials, he strengthens that faith. We may not always see it in the moment, but it's happening. So where does faith like this come from? The Holy Spirit, because faith does not come from us. Great faith is not the result of our feelings, our intellect, our effort. Faith does not come from us, and all too often no more than positive thinking, looking on the bright side of things, making lemonade out of lemons. This is not where faith comes in. Faith that comes from us finds hope in the weather forecasts, declining unemployment, the stock market going up, and getting our guy elected into office. But man-made faith doesn't lead anyone anywhere, does it? Except perhaps despair. Thanks be to God for the gift of faith. So I got a question for you to take today. Have you ever felt like you were at the end of your rope and barely hanging on like this Canaanite woman? Let's learn from this Canaanite woman. Don't give up. Sometimes it can be easy to give up on God. Many people do. When we have those tough times, those trials, those sufferings, we can be so beaten down when we go through these life's trials that we just want to throw in the towel. But like this woman, we can persevere because of our God-given faith. Jesus commended this woman for her faith and how great it was. And immediately her daughter was healed. Not because of how amazing she was, but because of his grace and mercy. So I encourage you to cling to Jesus. Stay connected to the vine. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. Branches don't live when they fall off the tree, do they? Stay connected to the vine through the reading of his word. Fix your eyes on Jesus like we talked about last week. Even when the waves are coming, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Be persistent in prayer. Don't give up just because you may not get what you want. Just because we are persistent in prayer for somebody that's sick, they may not be healed this side of heaven. That doesn't mean God's not listening or working. Be persistent. And remember this, a crumb from Jesus is more than enough for us. Amen.